All right.
Okay, so
let's do this. Michael, yeah, he wants us to do a sound check.
Okay. Yep. Okay. All right. I turned my feet all the way down because it was
GCN on the side, and GCN isn't listed in the users list anymore like it normally is. It's really weird. This whole thing is funky tonight. Somebody's drunk. It's not me. I should be. I actually have beer in my fridge for once. I never have beer in my fridge.
My tolerance is building up. I don't think that's good.
All right. Show's starting. All right. So we're starting the show. Woohoo!
All right.
We're here. We're the Freedom Fiends. We're going to skip an intro because this is an unofficial show. Hey, Diana.
Hey. We are Freedom Fiends. Most that's definitely. Us. We're just not, we're just being recorded as opposed to doing this live.
Yeah. The two of us showed up ready to do a show. We were on time and everything.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And what did Michael say? Any length, 20 minutes to 2 hours? Yeah, I don't know if we're going 2 hours at this point. But
right.
Yeah, I don't know. GCN was having some difficulties tonight, so we were going to try to bring you a live show. I don't know what the heck happened. We're going to blame it on them.
Well, yeah, I don't think there was anything wrong on our end. So, I mean, yeah, not going to say.
No, I am nowhere near as harsh on the board ops as Michael is.
Yeah.
I took one of his original lessons about always being nice to the board op because they could make or break you to heart.
Mm-hmm.
So usually when him and I aren't together, when there's issues, we usually play, good radio host, bad radio host, as he yells at the board ops and I keep calling him by name and thanking him.
Oh.
It's one of those routines. We've got it down pretty pat at this point.
Yeah. So. I can see that. I could definitely, the whole good cop, bad cop thing.
Yeah, it works. It seems we haven't gotten thrown off the air too much, so.
Right.
Must be working somehow. But anyway, so we're here now. We're going to do a show.
And we have some topics, too.
We do have topics.
Yeah.
And we were going to be cursing, but now I don't think we can.
I was just about to say that. Yes, we were going to be able to cuss, but we can't, just in case. In case. You never know.
I know. As soon as I let loose some tirade, that's the part that's all of a sudden going to go out loud and clear over GCN. They're currently playing a repeat from a couple of weeks ago with me and Shane, and I know that'll that'll bleed in as soon as I start going off on somebody. So try to be on my best behavior.
I really, really miss doing shows. I'm feeling a little out of the fiend loop.
I know it's been a while. We were talking about that before we started recording. Last time was my fault. I will take responsibility for that one. I'm sure you were all ready and prepared that night.
Well, and you know what though, you do it so often, you get to have a day off once in a while. You're a really hard worker. I kind of don't understand it, but to each his own, I guess.
Yeah, I'll let the cat out of the bag, I guess, then a little bit, because Michael's like, oh, I'll just tell people to take it a personal day, and nobody will even ask because you never do, and that's true, I don't, and it's weird, because as lazy as I can be, and people always call me crazy when I say I'm lazy, because I really can be, I managed to pump out a lot of different content in a very short amount of time, which leaves me a very large amount of time that I don't have my kids around, and I don't have much to do. So I get to be lazy a lot. But it's just this weird thing about me that I've never really taken sick days. I never even did that in school unless it was to straight up play hooky. If it wasn't because I was actually
sick. Yeah, why waste a sick day on being sick?
Well, exactly. But I never take days off because I'm feeling like crappy. Like I literally have to be like bedridden in order to not get up or know that I'm contagious, that I don't want to obviously infect anybody else. But though that usually never happens to me,
because whatever I amount to dogs and people that are on, I don't know, the other end of the country.
Yeah, so exactly. So, my motto is always, if I can stand in the morning, I'm going to where I need to go. And that's pretty much how I've always been. So, I just don't take sick days.
You have that good Protestant work ethic thing happening.
Yeah, that must be what it is. I don't know where it comes from. It's just this an innate thing with me. I, like, you know, literally, yeah. if I can stand up, all right, I'm going. So, right. yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I was having an off week that week. And I actually, not only did I take that night off, I actually canceled the Seat to Liberty that week, too. Because, well, I have that power. Because without me, they usually don't do a show. Because, well, I do the recording and pretty much everything else. So if I say I'm not showing up, we're not doing anything. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just was having a bad week. I was bummed out about some things and just said, screw it. I need to get away. But I'm back again, pumping out shows. Because heck, yeah. what else am I going to do? I mean, I'm about to be unemployed in 2.5 weeks. So, you know.
Okay. Okay. So I guess I'm not up to date on that. So what's
going on? Oh, yeah. It's been a while since you and I have had a chance to talk. Well, company's closing
end of the month.
I had made the decision earlier this year, back in January, that mm-hmm. this was going to be my final year.
Right.
And I was finally going to close up and get the heck out of here and work on going to start my farm. Mm-hmm. And then everything that happened with me back in April and May happened. And yeah. it sped up the process a little bit by a couple of months, mainly of my own doing, because I made a decision that it was going to be better off if I just shut down a little bit earlier. So as of July 1st, I made the announcement to my clients that end of September would be end of the line. Just shy of a dozen years. So yeah, it's coming up close now. We're already in the middle of the month, pretty much. So
yeah, how are you feeling about that?
Kind of freaked out. This obviously, like, it was planned but not planned, you know, because mm-hmm. I had to adjust midstream, and I don't have everything worked out just yet. So mm-hmm. panic is starting to set in. I'm not gonna have a job. I don't have that much in reserves, and I mm-hmm. still have to work on selling my house.
Mm-hmm. Bitcoin's on sale.
Well, Bitcoin's on sale, which would be great if I had any money to spend on it.
I
don't. Unfortunately, the money I have stored up, a lot of it is in crypto. So mm-hmm. things being on sale, not the best for me right now.
I know. I hear ya.
You know,
I'm in the same boat.
You know, when Bitcoin was hovering close to $5,000 and everything else was up with it, with all my holdings, I was in a decent position right now. And now all of a sudden it's like, okay, it's not so decent anymore. I mean, I'm still all right, but it's, you know, like I said, I moved faster than I really wanted to. I didn't have anything set in stone. And because, unfortunately, my court case is still hanging over my head, I can't.
It's not like you can go anywhere.
Well, I can because I'm out on bail and have been since the beginning of May. And right. I'm allowed to leave the state as long as I return.
Oh, okay.
As long as I return for my court hearings, you know.
Okay.
The next one's now coming up at the end of this month, which still don't know if that will be the last one yet or not. Because my lawyer was just like, well, you can leave now. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. You know, when I finally get in my car and drive out of here to my new location, I don't plan on returning probably ever.
Right.
You know, that may change somewhere down the road, but mm-hmm. it's going to be really tough for me to actually want to come back to this place at all. You know, I mean, for the most part, most of the people I knew, save my clients, don't want anything to do with me. The majority of my family essentially disowned me. So I don't really have any desire or any ties anymore to keep me here. Especially if I'm leaving here with my kids in tow, I have nothing bringing me back here. So I really don't want to be making trips, to settle this whole thing out.
Right.
So
I don't blame you for that.
Yeah. I just want to be able to get up and go. So, but because of that, it's really, you know, it's not like I can look for a job elsewhere, because it's like, well, when can you start? I'm not sure exactly. yeah. And, you know, why is
that? Can you
that?
Be flexible on that?
Yeah. And why is that? Well, I can't really tell you, because if it goes in my favor, I don't have to tell you.
Right. hint, hint.
You you know, like, so it's like, what am I supposed to do? You know, it's just,
yeah.
So I've kind of been in limbo with that. And then, I've been stressing cause you know, it's like I said, I didn't have a lot of things in place. And the one thing I did think I had in place, which was the general destination of where I was going, that's kind of blown up since then. My partner in the farming business, we haven't actually spoken in quite a while now, and have had absolutely no contact for over a week and a half at this point.
Okay.
Things are not rosy on that end. So I've had to shift gears and try to come up with a new plan on the fly. So that's where I'm at right now. So yeah, like I said, panic definitely has set in, and I'm kind of like, okay,
yeah,
what do you got to do, genius?
You know what? I'm sure you'll fall on your feet.
Well, see, the thing is, I know that if worse comes to worse, if it comes to me having to find like get some work somehow, some way to make some money, like I'm sure I could pull it off, but mm-hmm. it will most likely have to involve me ditching my kids for a while, which is not something I'm looking forward to.
Right.
You know, because of everything that happened with me, because of the stuff still hanging over my head, getting quote unquote honest work may not be too easy for me in the current climate.
Right. You know? Well, especially where you are.
Well, I mean, yeah, here definitely, but even elsewhere, yeah. Because, you know, I mean, as one of the commercials that plays on GCN that I hear every gosh darn night that I do a show, from that company Reputation Defender, who I actually tried contacting about my situation, and they told me that I would need the top of the line package to take care of my internet search history. I don't know if you know much about them, but their whole thing is, you know, they promise to if you have a negative search history on Google or whatever, like they promise to take care of that for you, and they have different mm-hmm. levels of how much it would cost. And right. So I called them and say, oh, I hear this commercial all the time. Let's see what they have to offer. And the guy was like, oh, just, you know, let me give me your name and I'll plug it in and see what we got, and plug my name in. And all I heard on the other end was, oh,
yeah.
Yeah. you have a lot of bad press here, my friend. We'd probably mm-hmm. have to give you the top of live package. I'm like, oh yeah, and then how much is that? And upwards of $20,000.
Oh my goodness, wow. You're infamous, Jeremy.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Infamous.
The first 3-4 pages are just not of Google search results for my name now, which used to just be my Facebook page mm-hmm. and a couple other things. It's now just like, you know, I think there's still, I haven't looked in a while, and I don't want to anymore. I don't bother. But there for quite a while, at least the first couple of months after everything happened, there was one positive thing on the first page of Google results. One guy that I know, and I can't, I should know who it actually is, but I only know him by his Twitter handle.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I'm pretty sure multiple people have told me who it actually is, like who I could find him on Facebook, and I'm actually friends with him there too, but I can't remember. But anyway, he goes by Rollo McFlugel on Twitter, and he actually mm-hmm. wrote a piece on his blog. I think it was titled "An Obvious Defense of Jeremy Hengler."
And I did read that. I read that.
Which I really appreciated, because like we know each other a little bit through Twitter and stuff, and we've interacted in other social media platforms, but mm-hmm. I don't know the guy at all. And I didn't speak to him after everything happened. We had no contact whatsoever, and he just took it upon himself to write this piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really good too.
Yeah, and I really appreciated it. But like for the mm-hmm. longest time, that was at least showing up, but like every other result on the first page, and then like pretty much the next 3 to 5 pages after that were just like slam pieces from every right wing trash alternative site and whatever. And then of course the big ones, because you know it made its ABC7 in Chicago and like a couple of the other big websites and stuff, right?
Because you're such a liberal.
Well, yeah, well, of course, because the one of the idiotic falsehoods that kept getting tramped out every time I saw an article, including ones that I saw that were getting written like weeks after the fact, they were just copying and pasting half stories from other people, was the fact that I was an Antifa member. And that was clearly clearly evident by the giant A on my gold and gray and black shirt, which clearly just denotes anarcho-capitalism, especially because the slogan surrounding the A said end the state, free the market, you know, which is
right.
Which is completely against anything Antifa preaches, you know. But that was the kind of stuff that just kept getting shoved around. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Yeah.
So, my search history is not good. So getting work may be difficult. There are people across the country that I know in the Liberty community who I've become friends with over the years who have all offered that if I can make it out to wherever they are, they can either get me work. They can either, you know, put me to work directly or can hook me up with work.
That's nice.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is. But that would be those situations where it would just have to be me picking up and going and doing that for a while, you know, which means I got to leave my kids behind because I can't have them in tow with me as I'm hopping from place to place, mm-hmm. just getting work for, you know, however long, you know, a couple of months at a time, whatever it is, so that kind of stinks. I don't really want to do that.
No, when you go, you want to go.
Yeah, I mean, like that's
and
one
have
of those,
your kids with you.
Well, yeah, because that's, you know, that's a type of lifestyle that I've imagined at different points in my life actually doing, but mm-hmm. that was pre-kids. You know, it's not something I can do anymore. Yeah. I mean, I could, but I'd really rather not. You know, I lost almost a year with them as it is when things went sour with my ex and I in the first place. You know, when we were going through our stuff and she was withholding them from me. You know, that was hard enough as it is. And, you know, even now that we're on better terms, they're still, you know, I still only see them like, you know, 4 days, 3 nights out of the week.
But there's an agreement that you take them with you when you leave.
Well, no, that was the whole thing. And even before my other situation changed, her and I were leaving together
because
she wants out too. And she because we have been co-parenting together for the better part of, I guess, well, over a year now since we finally somewhat reconciled our situation, you know, at least as far as, you know, me not wanting to kill her anymore, you know, for what she had done. Obviously, I don't mean that, people. But the fact, you know, I mean, she knows. I mean, she, you know, admitted that
the thought police are listening.
Yeah, I'm sure. But she, you know, she fully admitted that she screwed up and that, you know, she made some really bad decisions and trusted her parents, which was a really bad idea. But we're working together and she wants out of here too. So we had already agreed, even when I had with my now, I guess, former business partner. I don't know. Like I said, we haven't spoken, so it's kind of weird. But we had an agreement even when I had the things working out for the farm, that her and I were going to leave together. We were going to you know, the destination was still hopefully going to be in that certain section in Ohio that we were looking to go.
Right.
And we were hoping to be, you know, long term, we were looking that we were going to be hopefully just be no more than a town apart, kind of like we are right now. Uh-huh. So we could still co-parent. And there was even serious discussions and it was most likely going to have to be that way. And even now, still, it'll still probably have to be that way. Well, even more so, I should say now. We had already decided that we would most likely have to get one place to start, and we mm-hmm. would not only have to co-parent, but cohabitate.
Yeah.
in the interest of saving money.
Yeah.
And in the interest of getting to the final destination as quickly as possible, which was going to be a huge deal because, you know, obviously we've now lived separately for over 2 years.
Yeah.
And, you know it's I know on some level it'll make our kids happier.
Because
they're old enough now and they've made enough references to the fact that, you know, the family stuff that they want to happen and they wish happened more. Because just because we are on better terms now, and right. you know, that we do stuff together, like occasionally on the weekends when I have them. Like if I go to take them somewhere, you know, I'll, you know, she'll, you know, my ex will end up coming with us. Mm-hmm. You know, and she comes, you know, some of the nights that I have them here just for dinner, she comes and ends up joining us. So to them, I think they've kind of just accepted that they live in two separate places right now, but they, I don't think they understand like what's actually happened between their mother and I.
Right. I mean, well, I mean, that's kind of what they're used to. So it's not weird for them.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a culture shock because I know they're freaked out about leaving their grandparents, which I'm thrilled about them leaving their grandparents because I hate those. Like, I use the word hate sometimes, but it's really, I really don't mean it that often. Like, it's very rare. Like, it takes me a lot to actually have hate for somebody. And those two people, I definitely do. Like, I have hatred for my former in-laws. I I've discussed this before. They set me up to have the cops called on me twice when I was there either to pick up or at least see my children under her orders. Like, she told me to come and get them or come and see them.
Yeah, I know.
So, you know, there is the no love lost between those horrible individuals and myself. And I'll be quite happy, you know, despite the despite the damage it may do to my children in the short term, I'm really hoping that I can make, you know, get them to understand at some point why daddy needed to do that and why they really are not good people.
In time. I don't know. They may not be old enough yet to hear that.
Oh no, they're not. They've heard it. They've only because I've snapped like after they've come here and like talked about them incessantly, and I've tried to ask them just to stop, and they just, you know, I know they don't mean it, but it's just like after a while, it's like you know, because for a while it was like, daddy, if you just, you know, again, they don't fully understand. They just know what they've seen. Like, they witnessed me. They witnessed the cop showing up to get me twice. You know, they saw it through the window and were screaming for me and could not get, you know, were not allowed to get to me.
Right.
So like,
oh my God.
But like, but still, despite, you know, because they were able to have their grandparents just like fill their heads with whatever propaganda they wanted to a lot more than they could with me, because I was barely seeing them at the time. You know, when I finally started getting to see them again, it was more of constantly, you know, for whatever they would say something to me about it, it was just like, well, you know, if you just go apologize, just go talk to Pop Up and apologize. I'm like, oh no, you don't understand. I'm never apologizing to either of them for anything I've said or what I've done or what I've thought about doing or what I may do at any point in the future. Not going to happen. Sorry.
I don't know. Like, I mean, obviously, I wouldn't blame you at all. I mean, it doesn't sound like you've actually done anything wrong or done anything to them, or certainly nothing to deserve having the cops called on you.
No.
And, but yeah, the simplicity of a child, you know?
Oh, yeah, no.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, all it takes is an apology and everything will be fine.
Of course.
In some situations, sure, but...
yeah.
Life is complicated.
Yes, exactly, you know, if they had broken something of mine or erroneously accused me of something or, you know, something along that nature. Yeah, an apology, yeah, that may cover it. Not only once, but twice doing something that they knew full well, especially her father, knew full well that I considered an act of violence. Mm-hmm. By calling armed thugs to keep me from my children when I had done nothing wrong. Like, when I had been invited, it wasn't like I was trespassing on his property. I was invited by his daughter who lived there with my children against my wishes. Because she had taken them from me, and that was before the whole court thing had got settled. So it was still like completely against my consent. Everything, just took my kids and ran.
That's crazy.
And she had invited me there, and twice, like, you know, he can get it. You know, anybody who wants to give him a pass for the first time of not really understanding my position, okay, mm-hmm. fine. But I made it very clear the first time what he was doing in my eyes, and mm-hmm. that the fact that he did that I took that as an act of aggression, and, you know, morally, no issue with retaliation for me because of it, because, well, it's self-defense at that point. Pragmatically, I'm not stupid enough to do that when a bunch of guys show up, you know, armed and ready to shoot me at, you know, on a moment's notice.
Yeah. Oh my God.
You know, so yeah. That's to me, that's a line a little too far. Yeah. An apology just doesn't cover it there.
Right. And how old are your kids now?
They just turned 6.
Yeah. Yeah. One day. I mean, there'll be a time when they have the cognitive ability to really kind of take in all of that. I mean, you definitely should tell them for sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Believe me, I plan to. I mean, they already know to some extent because they're obviously they're still young. But as you know, as I've pointed out to anybody who would listen, including my ex, who ignored me for the longest time. And once again, not even like a week or two ago, had like openly came out without like me prodding her or anything and reminded herself and me how right I had been about our one daughter, who is really perceptive for her age. Mm-hmm. And hides it well, because she's the one who has all the issues, and she's smart enough to know that she can hide behind those, so she essentially plays dumb with a lot of things. I've been trying to tell everybody for years now. No, you don't understand. Like, I see it in her eyes. I watch the calculation happen. Like, I can see it. And everybody kept telling me I was crazy. I didn't know what I was talking about. I was reading too much into it. And it's like, you know, now 3-4 years later, or actually even, I guess, over 4 years at this point, because it was like 1.5 that I started noticing some of these things. And I kept pointing it out. I'm saying, see, and people, I'm like, even my ex too, who should have known them better than anybody else, even me, because she spent more time with them even then, because I was working my tail off during the first year and a half of their life.
Right.
You know, I had laid off all my contractors that worked for me and gone back to work full time because she was out of work. So I was, well,
you know, sometimes I think that when you do spend day in and day out with someone, sometimes you don't see those kind of things. You know what I mean? You have created this perception of them because of the fact that you are spending so much time with them. But then someone, and not to say that you're just someone else. I mean, obviously you're their parent too. But I think by virtue of the fact that you weren't spending as much time is probably why you could see it. Because I think that sometimes you're blinded to stuff when you're like with someone all the time like that.
That totally makes sense. It's just and I had thought that at the time too a little bit, but the one thing that kind of overrode overriding in that sense for me that I still kind of thought, well, no, you still should have, because it was this daughter in particular who my ex rightfully watched like a hawk. Because of all of her issues, we had to constantly be on top of her and monitor, monitoring her and making sure, you know, like literally keeping notes on her, you know, because she was going, you know, she has seizure issues and everything that goes on, you know, so she was constantly watching, and especially not just for what she was saying, but like her actions and her, trying to find triggers for what was setting her off with the seizures and her behaviors, like, so she was constantly watching for that stuff. So the fact that she still overlooked that, I was like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, that was kind of like, for a while I thought maybe she was just being spiteful towards me, and you know, because some of the other things I kind of figured had been like that. And when I pressed her on it after the fact, after we had kind of like made amends a little bit, I kind of pressed her on it, and she sheepishly admitted that some of those things were more spite, because it was just like, it was kind of like something that I had warned, that I had said about, I think, shortly before the girls were born, and she shrugged me off at the time. But then she also, you know, she had to sheepishly admit to that too. Something that my mom had done to me years ago, which was she spent my whole life telling me, attacking me whenever she got mad and whenever she got frustrated in an argument that we was having. It would eventually turn to, you just can't admit when you're wrong. You always have to be right. Yada yada yada. Well, years later, my mom finally admitted to me in a rare moment of candor that it wasn't the fact that I always had to be right. It drove her insane that I usually was, and she just didn't want to admit it.
That's often the case.
And I said that to my ex before, shortly before my kids were born, because she used to do the same type of thing to me. And I'm like, you're just like my mom. I'm like, this is BS. I'm like, you just won't admit it. And sure enough, years later, she finally had to turn around and go, yeah, it's kind of what it is. It's like, yeah.
Apparently, you like stubborn women.
kind of where the business relationship went sour recently.
A little bit of a pattern thing going on. Oh, yes. Maybe. Yes.
Well, I do like a challenge. I have always said that, you know, I was always, you know, it used to be the reclamation projects, you know, back in the day. I was always about fixing, you know, the mm-hmm. broken ones. And that stubbornness ended up usually coming along with that. Surprisingly, right. Even though a lot of the broken ones, you would think a lot of times had just been pushovers, you know, that's how they got to that point a lot of the times. Yeah. But no, I found the stubborn ones in that bunch.
I think that a lot of times when people are like that, when they're stubborn and they don't want to admit that they're wrong. Okay. They don't want to be seen as a pushover is probably what it is.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
You know, they're not capable, I guess, in the moment of seeing how they can admit, like, they can have the humility to admit that they're wrong and still not be a pushover. They can still be a strong person, you know, and have their own opinions and everything. But, uh-huh. you know, when you're wrong, you're wrong.
Yeah.
So I've kind of learned that over the years myself. I didn't used to want to admit when I was wrong. But now I'm pretty much, okay, you're right. You're absolutely right. Oh, my God.
Well, but that's a natural. See, I think that's just natural for most people. You know, most people don't. And it's not just stubborn people, and it's not just, maybe ignorant isn't the right word, but like, because a lot of people, most people, including myself included, are, you know, ignorant about a ton of things. But it's just most people, you know, even good hardcore intellectuals, I guess, want to be right.
Most people say they want the truth more.
I think I believe it. But you know, there's always that you want to be right. You know, you don't want to be wrong. You don't want to be foolish necessarily. But
I mean, what that does, I mean, what that can potentially do, or what I think why people do it is they don't, like I said, they don't want to be seen as pushover. They don't want to be seen as vulnerable either, you know? So, you know, I think that's a lot of it too. I mean, yeah, and you're right. Most people are like that. And most people are not really aware of it either.
Without interrupting the show.
Well, sure. Yeah. Because it's like innate.
It's instinctual. It's a survival mechanism.
Yeah. It's pure self preservation.
Right.
That's all it really is.
That's what it boils down to.
I don't even know how we got all the way over here.
I don't know. I mean, I just, like, I sit here and I listen to you talk, and I'm like, my brain is just analyzing everything.
So. Oh no, it's fine. Please, and cut me off, because a lot of other people, when I do, if I do one on one shows like this, they let me talk, and if I don't stop, or if they don't cut me off, I just keep going. So feel free to interject.
I was enjoying it, but yeah, I mean, it was interesting to me. And I was analyzing pretty much everything you were saying. And spoke up when I felt like, I don't know, I had something to say.
Saves me money on a shrink if other people want to analyze what I have to say. That's great.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I go by more. Might have been a couple.
But on to happier
might have been a couple
news,
of years. Even.
Here in the second hour.
Yeah, when I wrote that, and I think I still have it because I thought it was really good, so I saved it.
I remember that. Michael, are you back?
Michael, hello.
Oh yeah, he says yes. Are you coughing? Oh, proceed.
He says, please proceed. Okay, we shall.
Yes, we did.
Very, very briefly. When you were on before you got kicked off the last time,
yeah,
we're talking to Michael on chat.
Oh yes, we probably should explain that. we are just having a conversation. We're supposed to be putting this out as a podcast. So yeah, we probably should let everybody else know what we're doing.
Right. Yeah. So. And I'm trying to. I can't remember what I did with it. I know I saved it. I think I actually. You know what I did? I took screenshots of it. And so it's in my somewhere buried in my photo album on my phone.
Well, it can't be. You only have.
Can you hear me now?
Gigs on the thing, right? It can't be buried too far.
Well, I don't. Well,
can you hear me now?
My pictures are on the iCloud.
That's right.
So yeah, when I say buried in my phone or photo album on my phone, that's what I meant was on the iCloud. And I'm terribly unorganized. So I know people that keep their photos in like nice little albums and everything. And I just, I don't know. I tried doing that and I suppose I could try again. I'm just not terribly motivated.
Yeah. I have to, well, for the most part, I feel I have to do that with albums and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just because of the remnants of my OCD that I still haven't fully shaken off all these years later.
Yeah.
And then especially on my phone, I started doing it only because I for making memes and stuff, I needed to have at least some organization. Because like I have one folder labeled templates that I think has like 700 something photos in it, and that's just a pain in the rear end to shuffle through. And I keep saying I'm gonna organize even further and do that one, and I just haven't got around to it. But you know, with all those pictures floating around, I'd never be able to find anything on my phone. Yeah. So I have to organize and do all that sorts of stuff. And I don't really use many cloud services for those. I mean, I have it's not really cloud. Like I have Carbonite on my computer. That's about it. I don't use any other type cloud type services. I try not to.
That's probably wise.
Yeah, although for some reason my Google picture accounts are still attached to they still show up on every Samsung phone I get, every new Android, they show up. It's not adding new ones anymore. I finally managed to turn that feature off, but the old ones still keep showing up and I can't figure out how to get rid of them. And I don't want them there.
Can't help you there.
Yeah. I'm still so unbelievably un-tech savvy. It's not even funny.
Well, I'm still trying to figure out. Well, I haven't tried to figure out that hard. I mean, if I really sat down and read and, you know, whatever, researched it, I'm sure I could figure this out on my own. But I have not claimed my Bitcoin Cash yet. Have you?
No, I have not. And I've been directed by multiple people to places to go to figure out exactly how to do that. And again, I probably could do it myself too. I've actually just been waiting because I had all my Bitcoin I had left in my Jax wallet when the fork happened. Jax put out a state, like was alluding to, and then finally put out a statement, I think a couple of weeks after the fork, stating that they were indeed going to be integrating Bitcoin Cash, but they had already had this plan laid out for the month of September, or I think it actually started like the last week of August. But this plan, like starting on this particular date, that they were going to be doing one update a day for like 30 days. So basically 30 days of updates from Jax, and they had already had that whole thing laid out, so they weren't going to mess with it too much to add the Bitcoin Cash integration. So I think the Bitcoin Cash was supposed to come on towards the tail end of that anyway. So I've just been waiting for them to finally add that, because once that happens, there'll be a very smooth way to exchange it.
if your Bitcoin is in hot storage or warm storage, whatever. Mine is in cold storage. And that's going to be a little tricky, because in order to claim my Bitcoin Cash, I'm going to have to share my private key. And so, yeah, that's my understanding anyway. So I need to figure out how I need to handle that. Exposing myself any more than I have to.
Yeah, from what I remember, I think most people, at least I've talked to, are just like, yeah, just you're gonna have to burn that other wallet, essentially.
I guess that would be the case too with your online wallets.
Well, yeah. If you're giving away the private key, it's like, yeah, just get another wallet. Take the keys to the wallet to the Bitcoin Cash wallet, so you can get that. And then once you establish that's actually there, then transfer the other Bitcoin stuff immediately to a new wallet.
Right.
You
know? Yeah.
So your Bitcoin is pretty much the same. Yeah. I've just been waiting for that, and I haven't, you know, not that I was really going to be spending much of any of my Bitcoin anyway. There's only a couple of things I actually purchased somewhat regularly with it. But luckily, at least one of the people I deal with also takes other cryptos as well. So I was just like, listen, yeah, I was like, this time around, I'm like, I still don't want to touch my Bitcoin. I haven't touched it at all since, you know, a day or two, or no, I think the day before the fork, I transferred the last of what I had all into that wallet. So that was like the last time I touched anything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even though I know I probably could and it wouldn't be an issue, I just don't want to take any chances.
Right.
So I'm just like, no, Bitcoin's off limits until this gets sorted out.
Yeah, I've been trying not to touch mine too. Because, I mean, especially with it like jumping up so high there for a little bit. I'm like, yeah. And I mean, because I had a bad habit of, you know, when I have, you know, little strained financial times that I would cash Bitcoin. And I just can't let myself keep doing that.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's I know, because I've thought that too. But like, mm-hmm. I've, you know, if I hadn't been through the financial issue earlier this year, I would have had even more money. I would have had even more Bitcoin going into the fork.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this before. Not catching it when it's at a good, you know, selling point and or buying point, that is. And yeah.
Yeah.
And, just kind of timing.
Yeah, but you know, whatever. It's just like, what are you going to do? Right. You know, I mean, but even then I was still like, whenever I sold, it was still at more than I paid for it. So it wasn't like, mm-hmm. you know, between what I've sold off, between what I've actually purchased with it, because I've done like, mm-hmm. there's been a couple of like, I think, well, Midwest Peace Liberty Fest both the past 2 years, and I think Pork Fest too, and a couple other mm-hmm. things like that, and then other donations and stuff I've made, I've spent Bitcoin on. So like the value I've gotten out of that stuff and what I've sold, I've more than made back what I actually invested in my Bitcoin originally. And yeah, I'm still playing with a couple of coins after all that. Wow. So you know, like, it's, I can't really, so like, even though I had to sell some, like I said, for me at this point, it would have been, the only reason I wish I would have had those couple extra coins is just for the fork itself, so I would have had that much more Bitcoin cash.
Right.
That's really it. You know, because otherwise I still would be holding or hodling, I guess is what the kids are calling it these days.
Calling it what?
Yeah, I don't know. They call it hod. They instead of holding, it's they spell it HODL, so it's hodling. I don't know. I'm so out of the lingo on so many of these things, but I am in a couple of Bitcoin.
I think
groups.
I've seen that, and I was. And just I've like, seen. Do I've they seen realize Michael they're use, misspelling holding?
No, they realize it. I've seen Michael use it too.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so whatever. Like, I probably would still be holding it. So the fact that it's dropping at the current moment, I think it dropped below $4,000 a little while ago. I saw people mm-hmm. complaining yeah. about that or freaking out about that.
They need to not freak out.
Yeah, I'm really not the, you know, whatever. Because again, was it really exciting when it was, you know, getting close to 5,000 and hovering around there? It's like, oh, is it going to keep going up? Is it going to keep going? Sure. But again, like, in the end, it's still way above what I bought it at. And, you know, I'm still technically playing with, you know, quote unquote, free money, you know, at this mm-hmm. point, because I've already made my investment back. And I've, you know, I still have some coins and I've been able to diversify into other ones, you know?
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. I just looked up hodling, in the Urban Dictionary, and it's kind of funny. The definition itself is not funny, but the example it gives is funny. So hodling, like you said, is the act of holding a store of value like stocks or virtual currency, most often Bitcoin. Oh, you should have sold. Yeah, no crap. No crap, I should have sold. I should have sold moments before every sell and bought moments before every buy. But you know what? Not everybody is as cool as you. I'm hodling.
Oh my God, what a long ass thing to get to that.
That was pretty funny.
That is funny, but like that was a really long, was it like a couple of sentences or one long run-on sentence to get to that, to two words? Like
three sentences
to get to mm-hmm. to get to one essentially two word sentence.
Yeah, I am hodling.
Wow, there you go.
Oh, and that's pretty old too. That's like 2013. Oh my God. gosh, how have I not known this all this time?
I did not. I learned it maybe a couple of months ago. So I'm, wow. Like I said, I'm not up on
it. Is it hodling or hodling?
I think it's hodling. Okay. I think. At least that's how I've heard it pronounced. But I could be wrong. You know, whatever. But either way, yes, I would have been doing the hodling thing.
Yeah. I've gone back and forth with that. I've had four at one point, and I'm down to less than one.
It happens.
Sigh.
Yeah. Well, I'm still trying to figure out ways how I can bring more in, because unfortunately, I mean, even though things have gotten a little bit better from what I've been told, the transaction fees still aren't the greatest right now on Bitcoin. So people are definitely hodling little amounts where they may have donated in the past to certain things. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, we haven't been getting any donations for Seeds of Liberty or any of my own personal stuff that's all hooked up to that too, because I do most of the work. So I have all my accounts up for things. Although I got paid in Litecoin for doing some voice work the other day. It was very exciting. First time I actually got paid. Yeah, I mean it was basically a friend at this point now. Like we he's a buddy of mine. But he threw me Litecoin for doing voice work for his show. So
that's cool. Yeah.
I was like, yay, I officially made something at this. Woohoo.
I would actually really like to do that voice work, but I haven't put myself out there. I mean, obviously I have examples of my voice work, you know, not only on here, but also the articles I did for Mises and everything. But yeah, I mean, I would love to do a little bit of that.
Well, that's the only thing going back to how we started all this with, you know, my panic mode setting in, you know, what am I going to do? I think one of the things I didn't, like, part of the plan for me leaving here with my ex and possibly cohabitating for a while was also that I was going to get to play stay at home dad and she was going to go back to work full time.
Nice.
So I was trying to figure out ways to make money while I was home.
Yeah.
And, you know, getting voice work was the thing I was going to try to do. Mm-hmm. Again, unfortunately, what happened with me earlier this year may affect that, getting that type of work too, but I'm still going to try.
There's plenty of people, you know, that do kind of what we do that need someone to do, to run, you know, to read ads for them. You know, I did it for Shane Radliff for his show as well.
I just did a show with Shane. He probably will listen to this because he does, so I probably should give him a shout out. It was actually I don't know if you listen to Liberty Lampoon, but they the guys from there, my buddy Aaron, who I've had him on my show. He's been on our show. I've had him on Seeds and he's had me on their show. You know, he's a good guy, and he actually I probably, you know, and if you do listen to this, you know, sorry, not sorry, I probably would have done it for free, but you offered, so I wasn't going to say no to Litecoin. But he asked me if I would do some promos for him, and then he was just, because like, if you've ever listened to that show, they get pretty obscene a lot of the times.
So I haven't.
Whatever, it's not for
everybody.
You're
listening, sorry. I just haven't. Maybe I've listened to one or two. I'm really bad about listening to podcasts. I really am. And again, it comes back to my phone issue and my hoarding issue.
I know. I'm just busting your
chops. My phone. I know. I mean, I'll listen to stuff on the actual website is typically what I do.
There you go.
Yeah.
So. Anyway. But yeah. So. But
when I'm working during the day, it's hard. It's really hard for me to really focus on what I'm listening to and do my work.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like either or, and because I want to pay attention to what I'm listening to, but then I also, because of the nature of my work, I have to really pay attention to my work. So,
of course.
Yeah, I can't divide my attention like that. I don't know. I mean, are there people that can do that?
Yes, there are people who can do that. I can do it to some extent, but if I have to really concentrate, then yeah, it makes it harder.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, because I really do want to listen. Like, I don't want to just have something playing in the background and I'm not, you know, actually paying attention to it because I'm working. You know, so that's kind of been part of my issue too. Because I'll sit there and I'll be working and suddenly all this narrative has gone by and I've missed a lot of it and I have to rewind.
Rewind. What do you listen to, a tape player or something? Jeez,
I listen to these podcasts on my Walkman, okay? I mean, the Walkmans are cool, right? Like, you know.
They used to be. I remember when that was actually a thing, not just
Guardians of the Galaxy. I mean, Star-Lord had a Walkman anyway.
This is true. I just watched the second one like a week or two ago.
Oh, you did?
I think, yeah.
What'd you think?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I like most of the Marvel
Me too. Movies. Marvel Universe stuff? Yeah.
Yeah. Like even Ant-Man, I've actually rewatched a bunch of times, but I've also been a huge Paul Rudd fan for like ever.
Yeah, I like Paul Rudd. I haven't seen Ant-Man. I've only seen him when they were on one of the Marvel movies.
Civil War.
Okay, Civil War, yeah.
Yeah. Which was a really good one. That's another one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. I'm not as harsh on them as a lot of my other friends who were big on the comics were. Like I was pretty big into comics when I was younger, and I was always a Marvel guy. I never really got into DC. I don't think it was until was it Tim Burton who did Batman with Keaton and Nicholson? It was Tim Burton.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That Batman. I think it was that was when I finally got into Batman, because I hated the original Superman movies. Like I hated Christopher Reeve. I hated those movies.
Yeah.
And I just refused to get into that. So I was always into Marvel, but I'm not as like a lot of my friends are more harsh on it. Like, oh, you know, Marvel's destroying this. I've heard that a lot with they say Marvel Television is destroying the Marvel brand, like with the all the Netflix shows that are coming out right now, which I'm actually watching and enjoying.
Yeah, I started watching, is it Defenders? Is that
the latest one? Yeah, the Defenders. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but then I realized that I'd missed a lot by starting to watch that, by not watching some of the other shows. Now I watched Jessica Jones, but I haven't seen Luke Cage or the other one, the Iron Fist one, I think.
Yeah, and Daredevil's the fourth.
Okay.
Yeah, see, you can watch The Defenders without really knowing, like, you can actually watch it, because I watched the entire first season, or at least however many they've put out so far. I think it was the whole season. You can watch it without knowing the backstory. You'll just miss some of the, you know, some of the things that are going on, but it does kind of explain most of it anyway, at least as far, because I had only ever seen, I watched the first season of Luke Cage.
Right.
Because when I found out that was come on, he was actually one of my favorite characters from the comics. So I was like, oh, this whole. And I really enjoyed that. And I kept saying, oh, I'm going to get around to watching the other ones. I'm going to get around to watching the other ones. And then when the Defenders, when everybody started talking about the Defenders, I'm like, oh, screw it. I'll check this out.
Yeah.
And now, admittedly, it took me 4 attempts to get through the first episode. I fell asleep the first 3 times.
I do that too.
Like the first time, every time I just like I got through maybe 15 to 20 minutes of it and just passed out. Because the first one is a little slow. Kind of just introducing.
Cool fight scene in the beginning, though.
Yeah, but still, yeah. Like it was just kind of like introducing everybody, and it was. Yeah, but once I actually sat down and was completely awake enough to make sure I didn't have any, you know, risk of passing out, and got through the first episode and then started watching the second one, and then I was hooked. I was like, all right,
yeah,
I'm gonna finish.
I don't think I've seen the second one, because I stopped watching because I felt like I needed to go back and watch the other ones before I watched Avengers.
Yeah.
I'm
watching them in reverse, and because
okay.
I finished that, and like I said, I've already watched Luke Cage, and I probably should have went with Jessica Jones or Iron Fist, but I chose Daredevil first. But there's already 2 seasons of Daredevil.
Yeah, so I never even watched Daredevil at all.
Now
but I definitely watched Jessica Jones. I really like that.
Well, that's the one I was gonna watch next, because I've binge watched over the past like week, I guess. I'm down to like the last two episodes of the second season of Daredevil. So yeah. I'm almost caught up.
I think the second season of Jessica Jones is out too.
I actually think
I started watching that. Yeah, I don't know. I can't keep up. There's so much out there. Yeah, I mean, and the falling asleep during a show that. I don't know, that you think you're going to really dig, which, I mean, I really, really, really dig the show, Game of Thrones, obviously. I don't know if you've watched that at all.
Still haven't watched
it. You never jumped on that bandwagon? Okay. Yeah, I mean, this last season, which was amazing, yeah, I would fall asleep. Like, you know, all kinds of crap going on the show, lots of noise and everything, still fall asleep. For whatever reason, I don't know what it is, it's so much easier for me to fall asleep watching a movie or TV show or behind the wheel of my car than it is for me to actually fall asleep lying in my bed at night. What is that? I don't understand.
I don't know.
And no, I don't routinely fall asleep behind the wheel of my car, but I've been on long road trips before where I mean, it was a struggle to make it to my destination without actually falling asleep. Like, I mean, consciously making myself stay awake the whole time after having multiple espresso shots, blaring the radio, windows down, air conditioning, whatever. Like, it just, yeah. Still. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
I heard somebody tell me one time it's a form of car sickness.
I guess, yeah. I don't know. That's weird. Yeah, I don't know. I've definitely nodded off a couple times on the road, but I usually just try to pull over and sleep somewhere.
Yeah, that probably would have been the best thing to do, but...
Which is surprising. Well, yeah, that's usually my attitude, It's surprising though, because I can fall asleep pretty much anywhere, anytime. Mm-hmm. Like, boy, it's like borderline narcolepsy sometimes, almost. Like,
maybe that's what I suffer from when I'm driving.
Yeah, I don't know. It's always driven the women I've been with nuts. Because they wish they could fall asleep as easily as I can.
It does kind of seem to be a male-female thing, in a way. Like, I mean, I hear that so much. I mean, it's sort of a stereotype, I think, but I think it's one that's based in reality. That, I mean, I've had the same thing. Most men that I know can fall asleep at the drop of a hat. Most women I know, takes them a little while.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's definitely, I prefer to fall asleep to a TV or at least, you know, music, but preferably, it's weird. Even though I only really need the audio because I'm not watching the TV to fall asleep. Like if I go, you know, mm-hmm. when I make it upstairs to my bedroom, because sometimes I just end up passing out on my couch because it's ridiculously comfortable and I, you know, the bigger TV's downstairs. So, but when I do make it up there, like, it's not like I'm watching the TV to fall asleep. I just turn it on to listen to it. But I prefer to fall asleep listening to TV shows, like, you know, old series that I've watched a billion times, mm-hmm. or movies that I've watched a billion times than an audio, like the radio or something like that. It's weird. Even though I'm not watching it, just those are the things I prefer to listen to. It has to be something I've seen a bunch of times, so I'm less tempted to actually turn around and watch it.
Right.
Sometimes that'll happen, and then whatever tiredness I'm feeling has gone, and next wind, and then I'm wide awake again, and then I'll finish the movie, and it's just like, oh, it's 2 hours later. You're an idiot. What are you doing?
Yeah, but you can fall asleep without that, though, right?
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Not only can I fall asleep pretty easily, I can fall asleep in a lot of weird positions. You know, like I can, I've fallen asleep standing up before. You know, so it's definitely, you know, pretty easy for me to fall asleep. Although now, of course, the older I get, it's harder to stay asleep.
Hmm.
Like, it's still hard to wake me up if I'm in a deep sleep, but mm-hmm. I don't sleep straight through, you know, I'll wake up after 4 hours most of the time for no reason. It's not like my bladder is that horrible that I have to pee all the time now. But,
yeah.
You know, it'll just be like, I'll wake up for something and then just be like, you know, if for any reason I move and get up, then, you know, sometimes I run the risk of waking up and not being able to fall asleep back for like another hour. So that's frustrating.
Yeah. So. I have that problem too. Not all the time, but definitely sometimes. And then, of course, my brain just starts in on me. I'm laying there awake.
Yeah. That's usually why I'm like,
it's like, shut up already. Oh my God. Well, like the committee starts.
Well, so yeah, when that happens, I if I haven't already got out of bed for any other reason, I force myself out of bed and go take a couple of puffs of cannabis to try to quiet my head.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes that just stirs it up more for me.
Well, usually if I'm at least half asleep, even if my brain starts going, it'll like dull me out enough that I, mm-hmm. you know, the sleep takes over again.
Yeah.
I'm up for hours. That's no good.
Yeah. No, it's not. You need your sleep.
Yeah.
So we've managed to not talk about any of our topics.
Oh, yeah. I finally just cleared them all off my browser. I'm just like, hey, whatever. We're not even getting to those. Which is fine. Yeah. I prefer conversations like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lisa and I did this the other night. We actually made it to the air that night. Mm-hmm. We had a whole bunch of topics. Like, her and I came up with a whole bunch of stuff, and we both read everything, and then we ended up doing the entire show on animals.
Just that's cool, though.
Yeah, talking about our animal experiences.
Yeah. And, yeah. Was that the one where she sexed hamsters?
Yes, yes. That was the that was the sexting hamsters episode.
yeah. I didn't listen to it, but I saw it on Twitter, I think. Was it Twitter? No, it was Facebook.
It was
Facebook, because Michael put something on Facebook.
Yeah, Out of Context Fiends has been out of order for a little while. Travis has been busy.
Oh, okay.
Because I called out to him on Michael's post. And he responded and said he fell behind. So if he hasn't listened, he's not putting that. Nothing's getting put out there. So he's missed a whole bunch of shows.
Okay.
So yeah. Michael got tired of waiting and just started making his own Out of Context Fiends.
Mm-hmm. Pretty good.
It's also where the one from me of, you know, she was a biter came from.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Speaking about my beloved mischief. That was talk about problem children.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, anyway, so yeah, these shows are a lot more fun.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, not that, I don't know, discussing topics, you know, of import is not fun too. But yeah, I mean, it's been a while since have we ever done a show just the two of us? I'm not sure.
Yeah, we used to. We used to do a lot more.
That's right.
When I first started and Michael was still sick and I started doing more and more shows. Especially after Bab left, and we were shorthanded again for a while before Michael hired the next wave of fiends. You know, you and I were doing a lot of shows together, and there was a lot more two man shows.
Okay, I remember that now. My memory is just not what it used to be.
Yeah, that's what happens when you get older.
I'm not sure if that's what it is or not, because I'm not getting older.
Stopped aging altogether. Well, according to your pictures you have, geez Louise. the last one, the one you put out like was a week ago or something that everybody was raving about. I was like, yeah, you really, it's like, it really does seem like you're moving backwards. It's like, how are you doing that?
I don't know. Healthy living. Clean living. I don't know. Not really.
I was going to say that's BS, because, you know, people try to assume that about me when they find out how old I am, because most people still don't believe how old I am either.
I know. I think it's just mostly genes.
Yeah.
Good genes. Yeah, probably. But I probably do a lot more than you do to, like, I don't know, I do all the girly stuff, you know, like the skincare and all that.
Yeah.
So that probably helps some, I'm sure. Yeah. But, and I do try, I've been doing a lot better with my eating, a lot better over the last year or so. And strangely enough, I've started eating a lot more fat, and I've lost weight without even trying.
Yeah. So is it the healthy fat?
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess you could say. I don't know. I eat a lot of avocado and
avocados
and. Avocados. Is it avocado?
Yep.
Is that plural for avocado? Or is it avocados? I don't know. Is it avocado?
I think it's avocados, but
avocado. Okay. Anyway, so I've been eating a lot of avocados then. And also, yes, yeah, salmon and grass-fed beef. I ate a lot of that kind of stuff. Yeah. And I just realized that that's what my body wants. That's what it wants. You know, the more I've eaten that, the more I've realized that. And I don't really, I mean, unless I don't know, like, well, I was in North Carolina for a few days during my birthday, and a friend of mine got married. and I was having sweets, and I normally don't have sweets anymore. And what it did was it kind of like it set up that sugar craving again. Just a few days of having sweets set up a sugar craving.
Yep.
Yeah. So, but I'm back off of it now, even though I had a little bit of one tonight. It's usually, I don't know, I can usually take care of that with a glass or two of wine. So, but yeah. Red wine's good for you, right?
Allegedly. Where's my pocket alibi? Hold on. Yeah. Yeah, I guess I haven't drank wine in a while. I used to drink wine. Yeah. I don't drink much at all anymore, but I can't. I have that same issue with the sweets, and I try to stop, but, you know, since there's usually my kids' food here, worst case scenario, I'm eating their semi-healthy snacks that are still sweet, right. And then I end up getting that, I had that
pepper. The organic sugar. Cookies kind of thing.
Well, it usually starts with their organic fruit snacks.
Okay.
but then one of the few things my kids really became like obsessed with that, like, I was just like, finally, I was just like, fine, whatever, if you really want these, like, I hate giving them crap, but like, I'm like, whatever, these things just like make them happy early in the morning, which means I can sleep in sometimes when they're here, which is nice. So it's those little mini muffin things, and so like they're there, and we had gone to the big old box store, the BJ's, a couple of weeks ago, and gotten like the big 20 or 30 pack box of one for each of them, except one of them didn't have the flavor, the particular flavor they liked in, and said they would try the other one, but then I never wanted to try the other one. So I ended up eating most of that box myself.
Well, if it's there, it's really hard not to eat it.
I know. I have horrible willpower when it comes to that. I'm just like, nope, sorry, I don't care. Gonna eat it.
Like, you know, like sometimes, like, I'll get ice cream, and if it's in there, I'm going to eat it.
That's why I don't keep anything for myself in the house.
Yeah.
Because of that, you know, like the only reason I've had ice cream is like if my kids got it for some, like if my kids, and, you know, every once in a while I take them to Friendly's, and they get ice cream with their dinner, and you know, so like that'll be in there, and if one of them doesn't finish it and it stays in there for like a couple of days and they kind of forget about it, like I'll eat that, but otherwise I don't keep it in there because again, and even that little bit,
and you're just kind of like, please forget.
Oh yeah. Well, they do. They do every time, so I know it's no big deal. I wait till they're gone for the weekend, and then they come back on Tuesday, and if they still don't remember it, I'm like, all right, well, I'm not coming back till Friday, so by that point it'll be like almost a week old, so I might as well just eat it. But like the only other time, there's
definitely would not take me that long.
Yeah. Well, you know, I said I have until Friday. I didn't say I waited till Friday. It's usually Tuesday night after they've left.
Yes. But the ice cream is mine.
And it's usually only like half of a cup, you know, so it's not even like a lot. So, but like the only,
you want more.
Yeah. Well, the only other reason I've had ice cream in my house recently is I picked up a pint a couple of weeks ago because I was doing some shrooms. And I learned last year that my new favorite way to have to do shrooms is with chocolate milkshakes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Yeah, I haven't done that in a really long time.
I
had that opportunity. I know. Don't bring it up. I just did,
though. You know, I see, exactly. And honestly, for the moment, that had slipped out of my mind. I wasn't even going to mention that until you brought it up. Now that you mention it, no, just kidding. Because you weren't the only one. There was two other fiends that were supposed to.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. That were going to join us that evening. Oh, okay. Or I talked about at least possibly, like really seriously considering it, and then said no at the last minute. But because of that, I went home with a lot more than I planned on, and I got to have two more rounds of fun.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
And then, you know, I may or may not have come across a decent amount more a little while ago. So, you know. Just have some laying around, you know. It's wonderful what you can get delivered to your house these days. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
So, anywho.
Not a guarantee.
This is true. You can, you know, it will, occasionally it will get seized.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Deny, deny, deny. You're fine.
Mm-hmm. What? What? That's not mine.
I don't know the person on that return address. I don't know anybody that would send this to me. You know, I have no idea. Maybe somebody tried to send it to me thinking they could intercept it before I got to my mail. You know?
Yeah, there's all kinds of possibilities.
No idea. What are you talking about, officer? All right, well.
Am I being detained?
Well, now that it is almost 3 o'clock. After we said we weren't going to go past that.
We got on a roll.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
I
managed not to cuss that whole time.
Yeah, I think I did too. I'm pretty sure I did.
No, you didn't cuss. I think I would have noticed if you did.
I hope so.
Mm-hmm. So that one, that Urban Dictionary thing I was reading, you know, it didn't say crap, right?
Oh, I assume so.
Yeah. But, yeah. Yay me. I didn't slip up.
Well, you know, your brain's kind of trained for it, so.
In a way, but... I mean, it seems like a couple of shows recently I slipped up.
Wow, did you?
Once or twice, but I think the cuss dump caught me, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I haven't noticed. I don't know.
All right. Well, good show.
Yeah.
It was fun talking to you and getting caught up for sure. I don't really have a lot going on right now. Kind of this, I don't know, working and there's things that I want to be doing that I'm not doing. Like I never really got started on my blog. I wrote a few things and that's it. That kind of fell by the wayside. Been working, Dave and I have been kind of working on trying to start a podcast. And you know, when we find the time, we sit down and we record stuff. But yeah, anyway,
you record stuff and it just sits there.
Yeah, I mean, we'll definitely get around to like actually getting something out there sometime soon, hopefully. Yeah. I'm not like you.
Yeah, not a lot of people are. I don't know why I am half the time.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
Well, other than the time slot, doing the Fiends is relatively easy for me. Because mm-hmm. I don't have to... I mean, because even if I am with somebody who doesn't want to talk a lot, I can usually just talk for 2 hours. I have no problem. Mm-hmm. get me on a subject.
I can kind of see that.
Get me on a subject or two. I can keep going.
Yeah.
And editing the Fiends is really not that hard work. It's just, and it's not even super time consuming. It's, you know, usually done in under 45 minutes from the time we sign off.
Mm-hmm. That's not bad.
No, it's not. But sometimes 20 plus minutes of that is just actually waiting for one part of it to render or master or whatever. just like sitting there, it's like I could like, and then as soon as that's done, everything else is like another couple minutes after that.
So you don't do a lot of manual editing then
for the Fiends? No, for my show. Yeah. For my show I do. For the Seeds I do. I try not to do too much editing, but I manually cut a lot of dead space, because even though there's things set up on what the heck do I use Adobe Audition to do my editing with, there are things set up to like chop out the dead space, but it always mm-hmm. seems to miss some of the dead space I want to cut out and cuts out other things I don't want it to cut out.
Oh, gotcha.
I end up doing a lot of it manually anyway.
What do you use for recording?
That's what I use. I use the same thing.
Is Adobe Audition?
Yeah.
And you like that? Have you used any of the other ones like Audacity or SoundForge?
Yeah. I have SoundForge as well, but I don't like, the only thing I use SoundForge for is the normalization process. Is it the normalization? Yeah, the normalization process. Because the normalization process on that, like the default one, is like is a great setting. It's the one Michael used to use for this show, actually. I think he's since tweaked it. It's not as loud. I like mine as loud as it is the way I have it. So it's like the perfect default. Like I don't have to mess with anything. It's like the default setting so much better than the one on Audition. So I don't, but I have it, but I just don't use it for that. And I used Audacity for, that's what I started with. And I just started to get used to all like the little tip, all like the little tricks to it and stuff. Mm-hmm. When I think it was Chandler, actually, I was helping me out with something and suggested that, you know, if I was so inclined to search the torrents, I might be able to find something better. And I may or may not have found a version of that I could make use of. And
allegedly.
Yeah. And I you know, whatever. I like it. It's you know, I'm still not like there's still so much more I probably could do with it. I just don't.
Right.
But for what I have to do for my show, it's awesome, and I figured out how to do it all pretty quickly. But it's actually listening to the show. So going through the entire show and like listening, you know, not super closely, but pretty closely.
So then what you do is you record it using Adobe Audition, and then you save it and then open it in SoundForge and then do the normalization that way.
I recorded in Audition, then
Audition. I thought you were saying Audition. Okay.
Yeah, Audition. Adobe Audition. Yeah, I guess what it is. Yeah, sorry. I save it, and then I take that. I usually chop at least chop it down to like pretty much right before the show starts and right after the show ends, and cut out all like the before and after stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I save that. And then I actually, that's what I drop into SoundForge and normalize it, and then bring it back in and do all my other, or actually, no, you know what? That's not true. I usually do some noise cancellation first, because somebody on, one of my co-hosts or our guest, usually always has some noise that I got to do a little cancellation on. Mm-hmm. You guys being in the same room when you do it, are you using the same mic or two separate mics?
Two separate mics. And,
these should be fine.
Yeah, well, we're using two separate mics, but his is a different kind of mic than mine, and we were wondering if that might be a problem. Because, I mean, the last recording we did, it sounded pretty good, but sometimes it does, we sound different.
Well,
I don't know. It's just, but we've just like, yeah, we've been, just been trying to, that's been a lot of it, really, is just trying to figure out all the settings and all that kind of stuff to make it sound good before we actually, you know, record some decent content and put it out there. We want it to sound good. You know, we want it to be creamy. So,
of course.
Yeah.
Which I did not do when I started my show, but you know, whatever.
Right. Yeah. I just don't want Michael to yell at me.
He won't yell at you.
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. Sort of. But
if you ask him to listen to it, he'll give you very blunt criticism. He won't yell at you.
Well, I was actually planning on asking him to listen, like once we, you know, have something put together for him to listen to. But yeah. And I was thinking of bending your ear as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously much better than I am, but I know a little bit now, because I've just, like, you know, I've learned on the fly, and I continue to learn, and whatever. It's, it caused me to be, like, ridiculously obsessive with this stuff for my show, and you know, so I don't think it's a bad thing. It's definitely, you know, I mean, it is only a correlation, but you know, our numbers have steadily improved as our audio quality has steadily improved. So, you know, it may not be the exact cause, but it couldn't have hurt.
No, definitely not. Yeah.
You know, I understand all that. It's possible you guys, I would assume you guys would sound a little different if you're using, I don't know how much different. What are you using to record?
You mean what software?
Yeah.
Audacity.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's kind of been a headache trying to figure out all the settings with that, as well as the mixer. So, but he kind of does all that. Well, I sit here and watch. I'm like, well, okay.
For pretty much everything, including Audacity, because this is how I learned originally, there's so many so many YouTube videos that'll show you exactly how to do everything you want to do. Okay. So that's what I did. Any of the settings I came to that I wanted to mess with, I would go to YouTube and I would type Audacity and that and the name of the setting, and you get search results, different video, like at least you know, 3 to 5 videos for each topic at least, you know, from different people, and you know, kind of explaining what they are and what they do and what you, and showing you examples of what you can do with them. You know, and an idiot like me was able to figure out how to do most of it. Like I said, I pretty much figured out how to do the basics of everything I needed to do for my show before audition just kind of fell in my lap. Then I just like
out of the sky magically.
I'll start over. I'll start over, and I'll start with this. And I like it, especially because like one of the great features about it for me, especially, which isn't as big of a deal anymore, but it used to be, is that even though like the next step up from audition is Premiere, which also does video editing. But at the very least, Audition, while it doesn't do video editing, it can take a video file and rip the audio out of it right away for you.
Oh, wow. Nice.
So for situations where I have had video for things that we've done, or I've done on my own, it makes it very simple to do that. So that's just like one of those little things that, you know, is a big deal to me. So I'm just like, woohoo. I like being able to do that. So yeah, like I said, Audacity, pretty much Audition, I describe Audition as like, you know, Audacity on steroids. You know, it's pretty much is, you know, Audacity, the same basic stuff you can do pretty much the same basic stuff on Audacity, you know, which has the benefit of being free. I think I'm trying to remember, like, the recording, I didn't do much recording on Audacity because back then we were doing video for my show, and the only way we could record it and be able to pick up other people's voices, like remotely, like not, you know, not locally like you guys are doing, was I used a program called OBS, Open Broadcasting System.
The world? Yeah.
Which is a really cool program to do video editing and stuff with, but I didn't really care so much about the video. It was just like that was the program I could use to be able to collect all the voices and then rip the audio off of that. And put the audio into Audacity and do all the editing there.
The world is filled.
So, yeah. If you're not
and then how would you match it up with a video again?
I found... Again, there's probably things that are much better than this out there, but I found this cheap little video editor. I think was it called iSkySoft, which by cheap I mean even buying the licensed version was only $30. With like lifetime support, you know, customer support or whatever. And I was like, $30? All right. it was simple enough for an idiot like me to use it, and it was very easy to as long as I wasn't cutting out dead space,
then
like I could rip the audio out and then whatchamacallit, clean it up a little bit and then drop it right back in so it lined up with the video.
Oh, cool.
And then I edited that thing all together once it was back together. Mm-hmm. You know, but I would take it out and clean it up and do all that other stuff, and then since all I was really doing after that was like cutting out like dead air and you know, like when anybody was like stumbling over their words for a while, like try to clean it up a little bit and stuff like that. You know, stuff like that. That was simple enough to do in the video editor itself. So I made all my cuts there, so it was still all synced up. You know, which is why another reason I was in a rush to get out of doing video. Like I never wanted to do video for my podcast. I wanted us to do audio from the beginning. And as soon as Michael and Derek announced that Fiend Phone was coming out, I wanted us to switch to it immediately.
Yeah.
And I just got resistance from my two co-hosts at the time.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So I kept getting outvoted. But it was me that was doing the work with the editing, and I was like, no, I want to get. All I want to do care about. All I care about as audio, and I just want to worry about that because I'm still learning how to do that. I'd rather just learn how to do that. And when I have to worry about like doing it, you know, switching programs back and forth and making sure it syncs up with the video, like it's so annoying.
Yeah.
I mean, we still have a YouTube channel and we still put out our episodes there, but now it's just a static picture of our logo.
Yeah.
So I can do my video, I can do my editing wherever I want and not care. It's wonderful.
Awesome.
So, anyway.
So we've been on for 15 more minutes, but that's okay.
Oh, yeah. That happens.
Yeah.
I may or may not be a little higher at this point. So.
Yeah. May or may not. All right. Well, it's been a good show. Yes. And definitely enjoy talking to you as always.
Yes, me too. So,
but anyway, kind of weird. I don't know what to say. Yeah,
meow. Music. Worms.
Meow.
Thanks for listening, everybody. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know what I'd do with my keyboard. I'm so envious you have a comfy couch. Mine's not comfy.
Mine's just, you know, mine's six or seven years old at this point. Perfectly broken in.
I kind of got mine more for how it went with like how I wanted my place to look, and now it kind of doesn't matter because nothing looks like I want it to look where I live now. But yeah, I kind of want to get rid of it. Like it's way too big for my space.
Yeah.
But oh well. All right. I'll talk to you again soon. I think I'm doing a show with you again in 2 weeks.
Sweet.
So, yeah. Hopefully we'll actually be on.
Yes, hopefully we'll actually make it to the air that night. Yeah. All right. Yeah, have a good night, Diana.
All right, you too. And I guess, like, when I talk to you again, gosh, you're going to be... Things are going to be different.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, they are.
Yeah. Unless we talk before then, but... Anyway, well, good luck. You're going to be fine.
Yeah, I'll figure it out.
It's going to be okay. I know. It's like when you don't have something else lined up and your life is not lining up the way you want it to, it's really hard not to get into that kind of mode of shit.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. And I just cussed. Oh, well. It's Michael can edit that out.
No. Well, he wasn't worried about us cussing. No, it wasn't for that. The only reason we weren't cussing
because we're on GCN.
Yeah, but we're not connected anymore, so
okay.
So I just turned it all the way up. We're definitely not connected. They finally disconnected us.
Oh, good.
Because this is only going out as a podcast, so if we cuss on that, it's not a big deal. It's just
right. Yeah, I guess he was just worried that we would be like that. We would actually accidentally get connected and actually be sending stuff out.
Well, that was the thing. We were connected the whole time. Like, we may finally something would click in there. Whatever was wrong over there would be fixed. And, you know, all of a sudden the replay would stop and it would just be whatever we're saying.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, he wants us to email him.
Yeah, I'm doing that right now.
Or somebody. Okay, cool.
Well, because I just went to go do that, and then I saw that he had sent an email a little while. Well, actually, he must have been listening to us. Well, he was then a little before 2 o'clock. He sent me an email about my Google. He went to Google and checked my search results.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
And yeah, McFlugel's thing was the first one up, which is funny.
Sweet. All right.
I'll talk to you later.
All right. Take care. It was good. Again, it was really great talking to you.
Yeah, you too. Worms.
Okay. Worms.